We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. It's tomorrow already. Can you believe it? How many of you have something to be thankful for? How many of you are thankful that you didn't get blown over on the way in? Dear Lord, is it windy out there? Well, last Wednesday, if you were here, I shared on the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And so tomorrow you have an awesome opportunity to exercise self-control when you go to the table and you load up your plate. Listen, I had a great opportunity to this morning to operate in self-control, and I'm not sure if I passed. I feel like maybe I got like a 50%. You know, I've shared before how the enemy likes to persecute me, and specifically while I'm driving. It seems like all the slow drivers, if there's a slow driver in Brockport, Satan sends him to drive in front of me. And, you know, so I'm driving down Canal Road, and it's double lines the whole way, no passing, and this guy is driving 30 in a 45. If that's not persecution, I don't know what it is. And so, of course, I'm praying in the Spirit, believing God that he's going to turn right as I turn left, but he doesn't. He turns left, I'm turning left. Follow him all the way down to Sweden Walker, to the intersection 104, and I'm still praying, Lord, send him to Greece. I'm going to Hilton, send him to Greece, Lord. Well, thank God he answered my prayer. He turned right and went to Greece, but here's where I partially failed the test. Although, for me, I consider this a victory. It might be a small victory, but as he was turning, I honked my horn. But, and now, maybe you think that's not self-control, but normally for me, I would lay on the horn. I only gave him like probably about a 1 second honk. Like, days gone by, without the fruit of the Spirit working in my life, I would have just let him have it until he was hard of hearing. Which, by the color of his hair, he may already have been hard of hearing. No offense to anyone by the color of your hair. Well, tomorrow, I hope you have an awesome Thanksgiving. You know, it's the one day that the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, doesn't really matter. So just dig right in. Amen. Praise God for turkey. Well, how are you all tonight? Are you good? Do you really have something to be thankful for? I promise if you don't, by the end of this message, you will. Somebody say, I'm about to be thankful.
I'm about to be thankful.
Now, you might be thinking, I'm already thankful. Well, you're about to be a lot more thankful. Hallelujah. Thank you to everyone who built this lovely forest around me. Now, while I'm preaching, I can think about hunting. No, but honestly, thank you everyone that's been coming and helping around the church. Everything is starting to look awesome. I know you're not supposed to decorate for Christmas until after Thanksgiving, but this Sunday, you know, is going to be after Thanksgiving, and so the majority of people will only see it for the first time after Thanksgiving, right? You all are just the fortunate ones that get to see it beforehand. We have a jib. For those of you that don't know what a jib is, it's what helps operate a camera. And so it lifts it up in the air and turns it. And so, I don't know, Jordan, are we going to hit this Sunday or is it going to be next weekend? We'll see. But we might have live video starting this Sunday. Either this Sunday or next Sunday, we'll have live video, which we're really excited about. And then we're going to take clips from the services and promote them on whatever where it needs to be promoted. And we're going to reach this region with the gospel. Amen? Praise God. Go with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. You know, with Thanksgiving tomorrow, you know, I mean, last year I think I did it. Normally I don't preach a holiday message, even if it is around a holiday. I feel like if I'm going to preach on Thanksgiving, I'd rather do it in like April or something. Just because it's, you know, I don't like being told what to preach based on what holiday it is. You know, but I think last year I shared a Thanksgiving message, you know, on being thankful. But this tonight is not a Thanksgiving message, but I promise you, like I said, unless your heart has grown cold with the Lord, you'll be leaving this place here thankful for all that God has given you. Let's look at verse 3. I'll read it first in the New King James. It says, blessed, or if you're very spiritual, say blessed. Not sure why, how we get that, but you know, the ultra spiritual reading is, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right, you know I'm big on tenses. What tense do we have this verse in? Past, thank you. So are we, why do we have to wait to be blessed? You don't. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
How do you know you're blessed? The Word of God says you are. If you're a believer, if you believe in Jesus, you're blessed. Now, this isn't going to be a sermon on confession, about speaking the words of life, but here we have an awesome word of life, an awesome word of God that we need to be speaking over our life, speaking out on a regular basis. No matter how you feel, no matter what you see in the mirror, no matter what other people tell you, you are blessed, and that needs to be what you say about you. I'm blessed. Why? Well, because God, our Father, and the of our, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Say spiritual blessing. Okay, so here's where some people run into problems. They like to put everything in the spiritual, and therefore they never think that that relates over into the physical or into our life. Oh, that we're just blessed spiritually because we're going to go to heaven one day. I know I'm blessed because I'm born again. Yes, what a wonderful blessing to have assurance of salvation. What a wonderful blessing to know that if anything were to happen, if I were to go out in this windstorm and get blown away, God forbid, I'm blessed because I know that tonight I will be in eternity with my Maker. Isn't that an awesome blessing? But you see, the blessing does not stop there. I want to show you just for a moment, and then we're going to continue on in this passage, but that God first blesses in the spiritual, and a spiritual blessing always results in blessings all around our life, in every single way. That when you become blessed spiritually, it's impossible not to become blessed in other areas of your life. Go with me to the book of beginnings, Genesis chapter, let's see, I believe it's Genesis chapter 12. This is where the Lord blesses Abram. He's not even yet Abraham. In verse 1 of Genesis 12, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth, you, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This here is God's blessing over Abram. It required some obedience from Abram and his part to get up out of his father's home, out of his father's land, to forsake all that he knew. But Father God said that if you'll do this, If you'll obey me, I will bless you. That's a spiritual blessing, right? This is a blessing in the spirit, isn't it? It doesn't say that God blessed him with gold. It doesn't say that God blessed him with silver. It doesn't say that God blessed him with cattle, does it? But it does say that God will bless him. So it must have been a spiritual blessing. It didn't say that God blessed him with great health, does it? But it says that God blessed him. Turn with me to the next chapter. One chapter later, chapter 13. And look at verse 2. Abram was very rich. Say very. Say rich. You see, God's very plain. And for some people that don't like blessing, God intentionally puts these words here and describes things this way, I think just to tick them off. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. How rich was he? Very rich. You see, when God blesses you, he blesses you with all spiritual blessings. He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. But I don't think that we maybe we don't really fully know what that blessing has done for us. But the blessing of God that we have been blessed with empowers or entitles us or allows us to become blessed in every single area of our life. Your family should be blessed. Your bank account should be blessed. Your relationships should be blessed. Your body should be blessed. Your soul should be blessed. Everything that you set your hand to should be blessed. Praise God. Okay. I can tell no one here believes me, so let's go to another example. Let's go to 1 Samuel. I think it's chapter 18. It might be 16. I'll find out here in just a second. Yeah, 16. Saul had been naughty, right? He was a naughty boy. So, he's about to lose his kingdom. The Lord sent Samuel to go anoint a new king in the house of Jesse. Verse 12, so he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking, and the Lord said, arise, anoint him. For this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. That's what you call a spiritual blessing, right? He was anointed by the man of God with oil, and from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. That's a spiritual blessing, right? Well, let's go over again one chapter. Chapter 17. You know the story. It's David and Goliath. For the sake of time, we're not going to get into the whole thing. But look at verse 25. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? They're talking to David. Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and will give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. I think we know the story, right? Does anyone not know that David kills Goliath? I think we all know that, right? David had one chapter before that received the anointing of God upon his life. And from that day forward, God, the Spirit of God came upon him. And one chapter later, he goes out and fights Goliath, kills him, becomes famous throughout the entire land, and Saul enriched him, gave his father's house, not just David, but his father, his family, his brothers, everyone in his father's house, including David, exemption from taxes, and ended up becoming the king's son-in-law. You see, it's impossible that if God blesses you spiritually, that you don't become blessed in every area of your life.
Amen.
Did you know that when Jesus died on the cross, the word that is used for salvation, the salvation that Jesus paid for on Calvary's cross, is the Greek word sozo, which is the same word that is used when the woman with the issue of blood went and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and he says, your faith has made you sozo. Your faith has made you well. It's the same salvation that you and I receive when we become born again, which we would probably consider a spiritual blessing, but that woman used the same spiritual blessing to lay hold of her healing for her physical body. I'm telling you. All right, now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and look at verse 3. And in the Amplified, it says, may blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Every spiritual blessing. Man, if that does not give you something to be thankful for, I don't know what will. Tomorrow at Thanksgiving, when maybe your family does this, they say, what are you thankful for? You don't have to tell them, I'm thankful for my new puppy. I'm thankful for my car. I'm thankful for my family. If anyone asks me tomorrow, Julia, you can hold me to this. If anyone asks me tomorrow, what are you thankful for? I'm going to say, I'm thankful that I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings by my Heavenly Father. Man, there's no greater authority in all of heaven and earth than our Heavenly Father, Father God. And He has blessed me. I don't know if He's blessed you. Sometimes I get selfish about the things of God. I don't know if He blessed you. Honestly, it wouldn't bother me if He did or if He didn't. But what's great is I know He blessed me. Now, how about you? How about you? Are you blessed? I can't hear you. Are you blessed?
Amen.
Sorry, what?
Yes.
Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
You're blessed. Man, you can't stay sad when you're blessed. How are you going to go around being a mopey, sad Christian, depressed? How are you going to go around popping pills from the doctor's prescription? How are you going to go around loading up on debt? How are you going to go around being a screw-up? How are you going to go around being a failure when you're blessed with every spiritual blessing from Father God? How can you do it? You got to be very, very, very unintelligent. Because once you realize, and maybe this is the problem. Maybe, you know, maybe us preachers need to take the blame. Is because have we taught the people that you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing by Father God? Man, if I could convince you how blessed you are because you're born again, if I could convince you, then when you wake up on Monday, after church on Sunday, when you wake up on Tuesday, when you wake up tomorrow on Brown Thursday, when you wake up Friday on Black Friday, it doesn't matter what color it is. It doesn't matter if it's windy. It doesn't matter if it's snowing. It doesn't matter if it's raining. I know more people, even Christians, God bless them, that complain about the weather. Who cares what the weather is? When the weather is rainy, when the weather's snowy, guess what? I'm still blessed. Man, you can't stop the blessing of God on my life. Nobody can. Nobody can stop it on your life either, except for you. That puts you in charge. That puts you in the driver's seat. Man, we bought Zara a car. She drives that car around the sanctuary. Today we tanked it up with battery juice. You know, we got the charger, and she gets in there, and she puts her foot to the pedal, and she's cruising through the sanctuary. I mean, it's only 3 feet long, all right, guys? It's not a real car. But she's driving. She's in charge. She wants to drive it off this cliff. Guess what? She can drive it off this cliff. If she wants to drive it down the stairs, unless I can catch her, she can drive it down the stairs. And you know what? You're in control. If you want to drive your life down the stairs, if you want to drive your life off the cliff, or if you just want to cruise down the road with your hair blowing in the wind, looking good, you can do whatever you want because you're blessed. God has not limited you. He doesn't say, you know what, I've reserved special blessing for you over here, and I like you more, so you get extra blessing. No, he said, we all, every single one of us, have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And it doesn't just stay in the realm of the spirit where it's just some sort of thing. And even if it was in the realm of the spirit, why are people still, as Christians, sad? If you have a spiritual blessing, you would be happy, you would be at peace, you'd be full of joy, you'd be pleasant to be around, you would have a sound mind, which we all know is questionable for some people that profess to be Christian. But if you have every spiritual blessing, man, that hits every area of life. So, when you wake up and you feel a symptom of sickness come on your body, you say, get off of me. That's not part of the blessing. If you have to remind yourself of the blessing, of an Old Testament blessing, you can go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and read all about it. But guess what? We also, in the New Testament, have a better covenant built on better promises than the Old Testament. So whatever they had back there, we have better up here. So you can just remind Satan to take his grubby little paws off your life, to get his hands off your body, to tell that symptom to go back to hell where it came from. When you wake up and maybe you're feeling sad or you're feeling lonely, tell those feelings. Do what Romans chapter 12 says. Put them into subjection to the word of God. Take captive every thought and high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Bring it into subjection according to the word of God and tell that thing to shut up. It has to. Why? Because you're blessed. And nobody that's blessed with all spiritual blessings can go around with their head hanging low, complaining, griping, bitter, angry. It's impossible. You see, when we find scriptures in the New Testament especially, where we see what we have from Father God, man, you need to lay hold of that. You need to claim that as yours. You can't let anybody talk you out of it. But guess what? Everybody will. They're going to try. Satan will. You know what? Satan hates the blessing of God so much on your life that he's going to put people on assignment specifically to come talk you out of the blessing of God. To talk you out of faith. Because the only way that you're going to get the blessing of God to manifest in your life is through faith. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. The Bible says that we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. It's impossible to do with anything without faith. And faith is believing in something that you do not yet see, or you do not yet experience, or you do not feel. So you don't wait for it in the natural. When you wake up, when you look at your bank account, when you look at your car that you're driving down the road, you don't have to wait till how you feel. You don't have to wait till you see it manifested in the natural. You can just say, Father God, I thank you that I am so blessed. How do I know that? Not because of my surroundings, but because I'm walking by faith, not by sight, but because the Word of God says that I have been blessed by Father God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me with all spiritual blessings. Take that word for you personally. So tomorrow, when you go, you grab that turkey leg and someone asks you, how you doing? Praise God, I'm blessed. with all spiritual blessings. Man, I could go home right now. I'm happy. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's some good cooking right there. You know, some people get more excited tomorrow over mashed potatoes and gravy than they will over the Word of God. Isn't that sad? You can lay down some fine steak of the Word of God, and people barely make a peep about it. But tomorrow, when they see that pumpkin pie with whipped cream on it, they'll let everyone know how joyful they are about it. So maybe you all think I'm acting ridiculous about how excited I am about the blessing of God. But I'm telling you, the blessing of God means so much more to me than some piece of pie, than some turkey leg, than some mashed potatoes with gravy that I'm going to eat now. I'll enjoy it for about 2 minutes, and then, I don't want to know what happens to it after that. But people get more excited about Thanksgiving turkey than they do about the Word of God. Isn't that sad? Well, not here, thank goodness. Thank goodness we have some people here that are laying hold of the Word of God by faith and that are going to see it. They're going to walk it out. They're going to live it. Amen? If that's you, say, that's me.
That's me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Now, I was intending to get through 3 chapters of Ephesians tonight. I'm almost through the first verse. Huh? Praise God. My dad says I'm long-winded. And since I don't have a lot of time left, let's look at the 7th verse. Because this here is also going to give you something to be thankful for. Did you know that you can squeeze so much out of the Word of God? You can take one scripture, slap it backwards and forwards, this way and that way, until you get every drop of juice out of it. You know, because sometimes if you just read over a scripture like that, you know, we can do one of these. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And just move on down the road and might not get any revelation out of what you just read. So when you go to the Word of God, I do a daily Bible reading plan, and I know sometimes I'm just trying to catch up on the days that I missed in my Bible reading plan. And I'll be honest, I'm not really that focused. I'm just trying to get through it. You know, like, oh man, I'm behind 156 days. That means I have to read at least 4 days worth for the next 37 days or whatever. I'm not talking out of experience. I don't know why you're all looking at me so judgy. Okay? Now, it's good, though. You know, you get the whole picture as you read through the Bible in a year or two if you're slow like me. Now, I'm not slow, but sometimes I get busy and I get caught up. But either way, you know, so I'm saying that because sometimes, you know, you're just trying to get through some scripture and it's good, but when you take one word of God, one scripture, and you squeeze it for everything that it's worth, man, you get some revelation out of that that'll change your life. What did Jesus say? My words are spirit and they are life. If we'll just take the Word of God for ourselves and take it so seriously and try and get everything that we can out of it, rather than just reading it like it's a textbook, like it's English class, and you're just trying to get through so that you can say you read it. But if we just take it and we try to get everything out of it, I promise the revelation that you'll get from God's Word is powerful enough to set you free in every area of your life. Amen?
All right, so let's start in verse 6. To the praise and glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him, remember when I said, what I said when you find something where it says in him or what we have in him, what God has given us, this is something where your ears should kind of perk up, where you should pay attention. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound to us in all wisdom and prudence. Now in the Amplified Version, verse 7 says, in him we have redemption, deliverance, and salvation through his blood, the remission, forgiveness of our offenses, shortcomings and trespasses, in accordance with the riches and generosity of his gracious favor. Now, I put down, I don't always do this, but I put down just a couple definitions because sometimes you read a word like redemption, and we kind of know what it is because we hear about it in church. You hear that word, you read it, it sounds very spiritual, but the word redemption comes from redeem, which is to gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment. And the word there, forgiveness, you notice that the Amplified uses the word remission. It says the remission, and then in parentheses it says forgiveness of our offenses. You see, whether we like it or not, when we were born into this world, we were born into sin, and we had offenses. Whether you got born again at the age of 4, or whether you got born again when you were 40, it doesn't matter. Because we're born into a fallen state. But Jesus, look what he did here. It says, in him we have redemption, which is what? Redemption. In him we have redemption, which is to regain possession of something in exchange for payment. So how did he pay? Well, he tells us here. With his blood. Redemption through his blood. The remission of his sin. Or remission means the cancellation of a debt, a charge, or a penalty. So Jesus, through his blood, he paid for a debt that we owed. And when he paid for the debt that we owed with his blood, he canceled the debt or the charge or the penalty. You know, nothing makes me more frustrated in life than when you're driving like a few miles over the speed limit or you park somewhere you're not supposed to park, not intentionally, but just kind of out of ignorance. Like you didn't see the sign or you didn't realize you were doing a few miles over. And, you know, this is the way that some people are in life, is they don't even really realize that they're living in sin. They don't even really know what the bondage that they're under. But whether you like it or not, when you're driving over the speed limit or you park in a spot like I did a couple months ago, you know, I saw the sign, I saw it said people were all parked there. There was cars parked in front of me and I parked right behind them because I just thought people know what they're doing that live in the city. That's where you go wrong. But so I park behind them and I come back 20 minutes later and I have a ticket on my car. And then once I saw the ticket, I'm like, what? I was parked right behind two other cars. And I look up and there's a sign that says, no parking, you're to curb. Whether I knew it or not, I was doing something wrong. And now I had a penalty, a charge, something against me that has to be paid for. And this is the same way that we are in life before we come to Christ. You see, we're living our life under sin, under condemnation of the devil, and the devil has free access to slap whatever he wants on us. And we can't do nothing about it. But Jesus, who blessed us with all spiritual, Father God who blessed us through our Lord Jesus Christ with all spiritual blessings, part of the way he gets that blessing to us is by the sacrifice that he did when he paid for your life with his blood. He paid for your life, your redemption, the cancellation of your sin with his blood. Now, that might seem kind of strange because we don't really know a lot today in our day and age about blood and the importance of blood. But if you study it out, if you study out the blood covenant, if you look through the Old Testament and blood covenant, and you look, you know, even in primitive regions of the world where they still operate with blood covenant,
You know, there's this one really cool story. It's in E.W. Kenyon's book, The Blood Covenant. It's an awesome book. And he talks about Stanley, who was a reporter who was sent to go find David Livingston, who was a missionary going throughout Africa, and they were doing different things. They were like mapping out, you know, the Nile and mapping out different parts of Africa. And David Livingston was a missionary, and so he hadn't been heard of, or no one had heard from him for 3 years, so they sent Stanley to go find him. So Stanley, he's out there with at least 110, one account says 111, the other says 180 or 190 people that are out there with him. So it's not like he's just by himself. He's got this big group of people, and he's going to find him. And so he has all this food and supplies and everything that's with him. And he comes across, I believe he's in Tanzania or in the Congo, and he comes across this tribe that is giving him a hard time. Now, this tribe, they were one of the most violent tribes in the area and one of the most powerful tribes in the area. And so it was a big problem because everything that he had was in danger. The people, their lives were in danger. Their stuff was being stolen from them. They couldn't buy or trade. Nobody would do business with them. And it's a big problem because they're trying to go on this mission, but they can't because they're coming under persecution. So his translator says to him, "Why don't you go into a blood covenant with him?" And of course, his response is, "What's that?" And he tells them about the blood covenant. Well, you have to, they went through this ceremony, told them what the ceremony is and how you have to, you know, cut yourself, drip your blood as well as his blood into a cup. You drink the blood. Then you take your wrists where you slice yourself and you rub each other's blood. And you do, there's like all this stuff. And of course, this is like in the 1800s. And like I say, in our culture, we're just like, what the heck is all that about? You know? And so we're just thinking like this is some sort of satanic cult. But you can even study blood covenant under the Old Testament, similar type of stuff. And anyway, he's like, no, why? And no, this is my words. Why in God's green earth would I want to do that? That just sounds really weird. Well, he said, because whatever is his becomes yours when you need it. And whatever is yours becomes his when he needs it. And you two will become just like brothers. You might have been the most vilest of enemies. But when you become blood covenant brothers, you become closest friends and allies for the rest of your life down to multiple generations where you are sworn to protect each other. And they take that stuff so seriously that if people broke covenant, their lives, their wives would leave them. They would turn them into, they would basically just write you off for the rest of your life if you broke covenant with somebody that you created this blood covenant with. And so he thinks, well, you know, there might be something to this thing. And so he goes to perform the blood covenant with this tribal chief of this region. And part of the covenant or blood covenant tradition is that you would have to exchange gifts. And at this point, Stanley was not feeling, he was ill, he wasn't strong, and one of the things that he had with him was a goat, and that he said in his testimonies that one of the only things that he could put down was goat's milk. And so the tribal chief asked him for that goat, and he didn't want to give that goat up. But the chief, you know, he asks, Stanley, how are you able to, you know, ensure that this is a fair exchange? And he wanted the goat. And so after he agrees to give him the goat, after some talking, the tribal chief takes his copper-wired spear and gives that to him. And that was the exchange of gifts. And he felt like he got the raw end of the deal. You get my goat, and I get this crummy little spear. You know, this isn't like 400 years ago. They had guns now, so spears, you know, aren't that effective, right? And so when you go into blood covenant with someone, when you mess with me, you're also messing with my covenant brother, my blood brother. So if someone now messed with Stanley, they mess with that tribal chief. And so he thought he got the raw end of the deal. But he noticed that wherever he went, and he had that crummy little spear with him, that people would basically bow down to him in reverence, that they would give him whatever he wanted, that nobody messed with him, that all of his stuff was safe, that people would buy and trade with him, that nobody messed with him. Because, why? Because they knew the power of the chief, of the tribal chief that was there. Go with me to the next chapter, Ephesians chapter 2. Because it talks a little bit here about the circumcision and uncircumcision, but then it goes down to verse 13. Look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You see, when Jesus shed his blood for us, he went into blood covenant with us. You see, when we accept his sacrifice, everything that belongs to him becomes ours. And everything that's ours belongs to him. Every angel in heaven that's backing Jesus is also backing you and me. You see, we've entered into this covenant when he shed his blood for us. You can look back when Abram went into covenant with God. There had to be shedding of blood. And then the sign of the covenant was circumcision, which involved the shedding of blood. Every time when someone becomes born again, whether they know it or not, they become blood covenant brothers with God Almighty. And everything that he has in heaven, every power that's in heaven, is now yours. So now let's go back to chapter 1. Look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but that in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's what God did for Jesus. But doesn't the word say that we are seated in Christ in heavenly places? So even though this is for Jesus, and even though he has been made ruler over the church, and even though every power, every principality, everything has been made subject to the name of Jesus, when we have come into covenant with him, nothing can stand against that name. Man, if that's not every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, I don't know what is. That God has put me in the same position as Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. We're seated together with him. Every spiritual blessing, he's given it to you. You can't read a word like that and remain the same. You can't go to Thanksgiving tomorrow the same. I hope you have an awesome Thanksgiving. But what I'm more excited about is the revelation of God's word, is that he's blessed me with every spiritual blessing that's in heaven. What I'm more excited about is that he's seated me in Christ in heavenly places. What I'm more excited about is that he paid for my redemption, the remission of my sins, with the shedding of his blood, and allowed me to become a blood covenant brother with him, so that everything that he has becomes mine. And everything that's mine, he has every right to ask of from me. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Lord, I thank you that the Word of God causes us to live victoriously. Lord, I thank you that faith comes
from your word. And that the word here tonight produces faith in our lives that will never be the same again. That we will live life more abundantly because of the covenant that we have with you that is based and built on better promises, a better covenant than even that which was of old. Father, for this we give you praise, glory, honor. We're so thankful for you. We're thankful for what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. We're thankful for what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. We're thankful, Lord. Father, your word says that with prayer and thanksgiving, to make definite requests of you. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we come to you with thanksgiving in our hearts. And we know that whatever we ask of you, that we have it. And that gives us assurance and peace in our hearts and in our minds. So we thank you for it. We thank you, Father God. We love you, we praise you, we worship you. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.